Hey, everybody. Today in the Charlie Kirk Show, Matt Gaetz comes on the program to talk about his viral remarks about Kevin McCarthy, an investigation into Pornhub, and why I think Mitt Romney, even though he's announced retirement, is running for president and what that means for our country. Action-packed episode. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Text the episode to your friends and make sure you are subscribed. We are here live at our TPUSA Faith Pastor Summit. 1,100 pastors from across the country are joining us. TPFaith.com. That is TPFaith.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is Congressman Matt Gaetz. That clip went viral yesterday. Matt, expand and elaborate on that. Are you saying that you are prepared to put forward a motion to vacate against Speaker McCarthy? Matt Gaetz, the floor is yours.
My preference would be that Kevin McCarthy come into compliance with the deal that we made in January. You and I had many discussions about that, Charlie. And when we finally had Kevin McCarthy as the speaker, you were one of the biggest champions of the deal that would have required single subject spending bills and votes on things like term limits and balanced budgets. But here we are in September, 8 months later, and the things that Kevin McCarthy promised have not occurred. So I've laid out the case as to the features of breach of the agreement. His option is to come into compliance or face a motion to vacate. It was somewhat troubling that he chose to respond to this by attacking me rather than just keeping his word. I'd prefer that the speaker keep his word, and I'm here to hold him to it.
So let's go through what the asks are. The position of this program, impeachment, not, I think it's fine, not the highest priority, I'll be honest. I think Joe Biden's a traitor to the country. He should be in Gitmo. But he does deserve it, obviously. But I think 9:30, the September 30th deadline, is the most important thing happening. So Matt, balance this for us. Impeachment inquiry, we have 9:30. Have you seen any evidence that House leadership is moving in a way to satisfy your demands? Walk us through kind of the current state of affairs, especially in the last 24 hours post the speech you gave yesterday.
It's been crickets. Matter of fact, they think they can just keep doing Washington as usual. And I've got news for them. That's not how it's going to go. We do have a defense spending bill that I'd like to see us take a vote on. That could be moving its way through the process today ever so slowly. But Charlie, it's not like September 30th crept up on us. It's actually the same day every year. That's how calendars work. And the fact that we didn't move individual spending bills to actually go after the administrative state is our fault. It's the fault of our leadership. And frankly, it's my fault. I'm here in Congress. So I take ownership over the fact that we failed, but I've laid out what we have to do going forward. So far, they just want to keep spending at the highest levels. This government grew 40% during COVID when it comes to how much it spends. And when we just try to get a little bit of that reduced, people are acting like we're trying to, you know, fundamentally reorient Washington, D.C. Now, again, I would like to fundamentally reorient Washington, D.C., but even the most modest of spending reductions are met with great resistance from even some big spending Republicans.
Did you say 40% that the government grew by 40%?
During COVID, from 2021 to 2023, federal government spending grew by 40%. So we can't keep doing this. We are going to be running $2 trillion annual deficits. That is impossible to sustain at a time when so many elements of the world are de-dollarizing, whether it's what we see with BRICS, whether you see the African Union moving to currency that is more central to the continent, whether it's Saudi Arabia and Iran making deals with China to sell more energy in the yuan. We cannot run $2 trillion annual deficits while the global economy is taking steps to de-dollarize.
Okay, so let's start to name names, though, Matt, because the stakes are too high. Who are the ones that are really getting in the way here? Who do we need to apply the most pressure on? Which Republicans are standing in the way to really get this done? Because you're right, 9:30 is by no mistake.
It's the Appropriations Committee. I mean, this is the job of the Appropriations Committee. when you're on the Appropriations Committee, usually you don't even serve on other committees because the work of the Appropriations Committee is deemed so important. So the chair of that committee is Kate Granger of Texas. The people who chair the subcommittees should have to answer for why their budgets weren't prepared. And a hero is Budget Chairman Jody Arrington. Jody Arrington is fighting like you wouldn't believe to get balanced budgets to the floor, but he's been bottled up by our own leadership because balanced budget votes are really hard now. Like the easy choices have passed long ago, and it's hard choices ahead for the country. Jody Arrington will make those choices, and we're working to get him unshackled, frankly, right now.
So heading into September 30th then, Matt, what would be a win, right? Because politics is the art of the possible. As much as I would like to see the Department of Education abolished, it's not going to happen this funding cycle. What are the priorities? What are the non-negotiables? And Matt, are we seeing some evidence that potentially leadership might try to do a deal with Democrats while turning the back on the Republican wing, the more, let's say, conservative wing of the Republican caucus? Matt, walk us through all of this.
It would not surprise me if ultimately Kevin McCarthy does a deal with Democrats, because that's precisely what he did on the debt limit bill. I don't have to use imagination. I just have to look at the last time this guy needed to build a durable coalition, and it wasn't with House conservatives. It was with Hakeem Jeffries. So if that's the way the McCarthy speakership is going to go, I'm going to lead the resistance to the Biden, McCarthy, Hakeem Jeffries government. In terms of what a win looks like, we got to get COVID. We got to get spending to pre-COVID levels. It wasn't exactly like we had our fiscal house in order on government spending before COVID. So I want to roll back that top line. And then I don't think we should do a 1% cut across the board everywhere. Like, I don't want to cut veterans 1%. I probably don't want to cut defense at all. We need to be spending a great deal to protect our freedom. But I want to have deep vertical cuts in some areas. And yeah, you're right. That's going to take threatening shutdowns. I don't want a shutdown, but I'm definitely willing to threaten one if that's what it takes to get us to the type of just modest government budgeting.
So what do you say to the more moderate wing that say that Democrats would just blame us and politically it's a bad move?
Well, I mean, I'm just sorry, Charlie. We've got to be more patriotic than that. We cannot continue to drive this country in the ground with deficit spending, with inflationary spending that hurts us now and deficit spending that hurts future generations of Americans. We cannot do it. I don't care if it's a tough vote. I don't care if you don't want to take the vote. We absolutely have to go be judged by our constituents for the spending that we're willing to authorize and appropriate. And, you know, for those who claim those are tough decisions, I would suggest that there is a case to be made that Democrats have brought us to this point with their bad choices. And rather than just being Democrat light, we actually ought to demonstrate some boldness to the country that draws people in and helps us build broader coalitions.
Timeline and action items. What can we expect in the next couple of weeks, and how can the audience support you?
Yeah, we need to get individual bills passed. I would love to see us pass the defense appropriations bill this week. But if by next week I am not seeing action from Kevin McCarthy to come into compliance with the deal he made in January, then I wouldn't bet against, you know, next week or pretty soon thereafter, seeing motions to vacate the chair pretty regularly. That buzzing sound means they're calling us to votes, Charlie. But I think the coming weeks are going to be critical, not just for the internal intrigue of palace politics, but really for the nation. Like, if we can't get it together right now and reduce this inflationary spending, then what is the point of even having power?
If you're not going to use political power and just wait for the next election, why even win a majority? Matt Gaetz, come back soon. Thanks so much.
Listen, as students begin heading back to school, do you think they'll be learning about the founding principles that made America the freest, most prosperous nation in history? Will they learn that our unalienable rights are God-given and not granted by government? Will they be given a full and honest account of our nation's history? The answer to all these questions is yes for students at Hillsdale College. And these days, in addition to teaching college students, Hillsdale has extended its teaching to K-12 students and lifelong learners like you and me. If you're not doing so already, one of the best ways to start learning from my friends at Hillsdale is through InPrimus, Hillsdale's free digest of liberty. My listeners can sign up for free at this special website, which is available for a limited time. It's at charlie4hillsdale.com. I look forward to InPrimus each month, and you can too. It's interesting, useful, and free. the best and smartest in conservative constitutionalist thought. Find out more about Hillsdale and in Primus at charlie4hillsdale.com. They're an excellent college, America's greatest college, charlie4hillsdale.com.
We are receiving hundreds of emails based on our first hour talking about how Donald Trump can win. That's right. He can win, and the Democrat plan is not going well. I find it most interesting to look at Democrats that begin to warn about what we are also seeing, the smart Democrat. In 2016, it was Bill Clinton. In 2016, it was Michael Moore. Now, some of them, these Democrats do that just to raise money and to become relevant. But some of them actually believe it, especially ones that live in the states that are going to decide the election. One of those states is Michigan. Now, Michigan is not an emphasis state for Turning Point Action. I don't think Michigan will be easily won. Michigan can be won, potentially, with proper organizing, especially with just the outright criminalization of everyday patriots in Michigan, as we see with the Attorney General Dana Nessel going after Rose Rook, 81 years old, from Michigan, Pawpaw, Michigan. Democrat Debbie Dingell, who represents a working class district, not a fan of hers, but she speaks the truth when it comes to how Trumpy her district is. Democrats, this is a new narrative out there. And they're pushing it. They're pushing it. They're pushing it. Play cut 35.
We're heading into another presidential race. If the election were held today in Michigan, do you think Donald Trump as a Republican nominee could beat President Biden as a Democratic nominee?
I'm going to look at you all right now. Everybody says Michigan's a blue state. Michigan is not. It is purple. It is a very competitive state. And Donald Trump would do well in Michigan right now. I'm not. The election's a year away. We're at a very volatile time. But I'm not taking Michigan for granted. And I'm going to say I've said that very strongly to many people.
Do you feel like the Biden team is taking Michigan for granted right now? Should they be doing more already to try to shore things up?
Let's just say I think we've gotten their attention.
So they're starting to panic a little bit in Michigan, not to mention what's happening in Wisconsin. Ohio is dead. Ohio is no longer a battleground state. Iowa is no longer a battleground state. There's an article in Politico now where they say, oh, because North Carolina has a 25-year-old state chair, North Carolina's in play. North Carolina is going to be competitive. No doubt. No spin. I still think Donald Trump wins that. Florida's done. Forget it. Florida is that is a deep red state for many years to come. Why? Because Florida has an unending stream every single month of people over the age of 65 with conservative Midwestern values that come and buy property and want Florida to remain red. It's like it's an automatic kind of annuity of like every single month. There's another 50,000 right wingers that move to Florida. But this reminds me, Debbie Dingell reminds me of what Michael Moore said in 2016 when Michael Moore came out and he was one of the only people to say, I don't think you understand. Donald Trump's going to win. Now, I'm not as clearly saying that in 24 because, like, we received this email. And if I may be so candid to push back on one of our amazing listeners, our listeners make our show better. But I honestly can't stand emails like this. It drives me nuts. This is a bad attitude. All caps. We will lose. Charlie, I adore your enthusiasm, but stop it. Democrats will cheat, and there's no way we can win. It goes on and on and on and on. So I'm 71, Vietnam veteran, electronics design engineer. I'm just sick of what a crap hole country has become. Craig, I hear you. Cynicism is easy. It's easy to fall victim to cynicism. But if that's the case, how did Donald Trump win in 16? If that's the case, how did he win in the first place? Yes, the odds are stacked against us. Yes, it will be difficult. It's going to require work and organizing. But part of their plan is demoralization, mass psychological warfare, to get you to give up, to get you to surrender, to have sentiments like this. And so I will just kindly push back. I acknowledge that our elections are crooked and broken. They're a joke in certain counties and certain states. Let's try to fix them and do our best. There's no guarantees in life, but you got to fight in the arena. They would love nothing more than for us to surrender and for us to give up. In fact, if there was a guarantee of their victory, if Democrats had a guaranteed victory, why is their propaganda necessary? If their victory was guaranteed, why do they have to continue to act the way they are? Because their victory is not guaranteed. It's not. If they were so confident in their plan, why is there a panic and a freakout? The media will not cover this nearly as accurately what's happening. But there are serious fault lines that are now coming to the surface in the Democrat regime. This forced coalition that they put together is falling apart.
For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. When I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of mine and Turning Point USA, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. Free activation when you say offer code CHARLIE. Join me today and make the switch today to this excellent company. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT.
There's a new undercover report from journalist Arden Young reveals that the online pornography website Pornhub has a loophole around age verification for explicit and pornographic videos, which therefore involve children. We've suspected this for quite some time, but finally, we now have it on film. Arden Young joins us now. Arden, thank you for your great work and for joining the program. Tell us about this story.
Thank you so much, Charlie. Thank you for having me. Yes, so I've been investigating Pornhub for a little bit now, and in this video release, which is our first release of a multi-part series, I met with Mike Farley, who is a product manager at Pornhub. He's been there for over 10 years. He claims he was the seventh employee to be hired there. So he's been there for a very, very long time. And he explains this loophole to me in the upload process. So supposedly verified uploaders can upload pornographic videos to Pornhub. But the thing is, they're requiring people to upload their IDs to upload a video, but so many of these videos don't actually contain faces of the people in the videos that it's impossible to match their identities. So that's how people like rapists and traffickers are getting illegal content on the site, and it's being monetized.
So in this video that we are uploading right now, you had this high-level executive brag to you that Pornhub is aware that underage videos of children being raped are then uploaded to their website. That is a bombshell story, that the number one place of pornography consumption knowingly they know on their website that illegal activity is occurring. They're doing nothing about it. They cover it up. Arden, what are the implications of this? There's laws being broken here.
Absolutely. U.S. Code 2257, which was adopted in 1988, made age verification mandatory for all traditional pornography sites. So we believe this is a criminal offense, and we intend to follow it all the way through and work with lawmakers to hold Pornhub accountable. And people don't realize how huge this company is. Pornhub's parent company, MindGeek, now rebranded to Alo, is a huge monopoly. They own so many porn studios and websites. Their Wikipedia page doesn't even begin to scratch the surface of all the things they run. Pornhub is the number nine most trafficked website in the world.
The number nine most trafficked website in the world. And so this individual, the executive, said that the rapists and traffickers use Pornhub loophole to make a lot of money. And he says, quote, "I wouldn't be able to defend this in court." This is Mike Farley, the technical producer at MindGeek, which owns all of these, let's just say, awful pornographic websites. Let's play one of the tapes here. Let's play cut 72, please.
Are you going to tell me, like, who's in that video of the girls not showing her face? You're, like, trying to match boobs and birthmarks on their butts and stuff? Like, you're trying to, I know this guy's dick, man. That's definitely this guy.
So someone could still lie and get around it.
Because it's stupid, because it's like, I could be a content uploader, and the only thing you need from me is, like, you don't need a picture of my dick, you need an ID. Right, in my driver's license, which has my face on it, but has just my face on it. You don't see my body in it. And now my videos never have my face.
Yeah, Yeah.
But you have to be like, no, like, that guy's body and his dick matches his face. Like, that's what compliance people are basically saying. And it's like, try to, like, that wouldn't hold in court, you know what I mean? Like, that's so subjective. It's not factual. It's your opinion. Like, you think that? Okay.
Wow,
you can't really guarantee that. That would be the loophole that I always, like, I look at that and I'm like, that's...
So he's, so walk us through, he's obviously in a club and all this. So walk us through the, what is he bragging about here? What sort of legal loophole is he talking about in regards to child exploitive sexual material on this ninth most popular website on the planet?
Yeah. So any verified uploader on Pornhub is asked to upload their ID to the site, and then they can virtually upload any video they'd like. So when they're uploading videos, many times the people in the videos aren't even showing their faces. So it could be from here down. And this would allow for child exploitative material to get in, or any type of exploitation to get in if it's a non-consensual situation like a rape.
So we have another piece of tape here that I want to play from the undercover video and the journalism that you've done here. I'm trying to find what the cuts are. But let's play cut 74.
What if, like, the government was to find out about this loophole? What would they do?
I don't know. They're not going to do They'll do nothing. They're dumb. They don't know. They're not qualified to identify the loophole. They already did their investigation. They were satisfied. You, like, work for the government or something?
This has $500 million in annual revenue. He's bragging that the government doesn't care about videos of children being raped on the website. This is a massive story, Arden. Please tell us more.
Yeah, he claims that the government isn't qualified to identify the loophole. And later he also says that people on his level and up within Pornhub are the ones that are potentially could be deposed about this type of material. So there's potential that we'll see Mike in deposition in the future. We don't know. He also claims that him and his boss sat down and recorded a meeting with the CLO and the CPO to explain this loophole and to have it on record, that they said something about it, but the CPO didn't want to do anything about it. So, you know, Mike and his boss are trying to cover their tracks and involvement in this, and they're definitely very aware internally that this is a loophole that has some major, major, major issues.
Yeah, so MindGeek is a $500 million a year company that makes money off of digital heroin that destroys marriages and destroys people's lives, and that's not enough of it. They are now the adult content is disgusting and awful. But then they knowingly allowed the uploading of children then being exploited and underage people. They say, oh, we know it's happening. And so let's get to some action items. We're going to be tweeting this out, Arden. We're going to be demanding in the states that Republican AGs or any AGs across the country immediately open up criminal investigations into Pornhub based on these videos. I mean, if there are children that, because then this only further incentivizes child sex trafficking, child smuggling, child exploitation, because then they feel as if they can make a buck off of a 13-year-old getting raped. They can then upload a video of a 13-year-old getting raped, put it on Pornhub, and make $50,000. Pornhub takes their cut. It really makes you wonder how much of that $500 million on Pornhub that they are revenuing comes from children. So Arden, action items here. Walk us through it.
Yeah, we really, really hope to get bipartisan support into launching a full investigation into this. And we're committed to working with any lawmakers interested in taking action. I'll be here every step of the way with anyone who wants to work on this. Really just want to hold this company accountable.
All right, Arden Young, great work. We're going to be uploading the videos, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Charlie.
Okay, it's really great undercover journalism there. We are going to be uploading all the videos at charliekirk.com and also on our social media feeds. And this is something that is not always talked about. And by the way, this shouldn't be a political issue. It shouldn't be a political issue. Just as a side note, what if I told you that Texas and Utah did their best to try to stop the porn epidemic? And there is a pornography consuming epidemic in the country. The very real thing. They tried their best to try and stop it. by saying, hey, why don't you just verify your age? And it got overturned in court because we want 13-year-olds to be able to consume pornography. Think of all the things that you need to do to validate your age, to show how old you are. And just off the top of my head, walking into a bar, nightclub. There's even some, I think, over-the-counter medicine I don't think you're allowed to buy under a certain age. You can't rent a car basically till you're 24 or 25. It's really sick. Also, some breaking news. Mitt Romney says he will not run for re-election. That's big news. Is that a reliable reporter? I haven't seen a second source on this. This is that's Bloomberg News. That's pretty reliable. That's a well-sourced guy, I should say. I mean, I hardly say Bloomberg is reliable. If so, that's a really big deal. We could get a real good senator in Utah. I would like to think that the early action. Oh, no, here's the Fox News alert. Okay, there you go. Mitt Romney announces he will not run for re-election. You know that we had the challenger to Mitt Romney come to our Turning Point Action Conference, Trent Staggs. And we sent a very clear message. I'm not saying it's because of us, but we were ahead of the curve there. That's going to be a very interesting primary. I'll tell you what, I bet some other people are going to run. We got to get a real conservative there. Utah deserves better. And this is credit to the America First movement. Big deal. Very happy about this. Mitt Romney announces he won't seek re-election. So you know what that means? Mitt Romney might run for president as the No Labels Party. That will help Joe Biden in Arizona. I'm sorry, that will help Donald Trump in Arizona. It could really hurt us in Utah. Mitt Romney could win the state of Utah running for the presidency as a No Labels candidate. He could win Idaho almost. Nah, it'd be tight. They got a lot of LDS there. So in order to become president of the United States, you need 270 electoral votes, 270towin.com if you want to follow along with me. If Mitt Romney's not running for the Senate, fine, we'll talk about that. He's terrible. He's awful. But we just got to jump right into the immediate speculation. If Mitt Romney runs as a No Labels candidate and he wins Utah, for example, then and Donald Trump wins Arizona and Wisconsin and Georgia, then nobody gets a 270 electoral vote. Nobody. So then what happens? Is Mitt Romney the deep state insurance plan with all this? Because we talked about the last couple hours, everything's going bad for them. It's not going well. Their central planning's not going well. Is it a coincidence the same day David Ignatius comes out and writes an article and says Joe Biden shouldn't run? Cornel West is ramping up that all of a sudden, boom, they deploy Mitt Romney and say he's not running for re-election. So what happens then? If again, there's a lot of ifs, but we got to game this out. If Mitt Romney to run his new No Labels, it would help Donald Trump in Arizona. It would help Donald Trump in Georgia. It would hurt Donald Trump in Utah and maybe even Idaho. And some of those kind of, let's just say more, they call themselves free-minded. I mean, Mitt Romney could conceivably win Arizona, by the way. Conceivably. It'd be tough, but a lot of East Valley, Chandler, Mesa, Brian knows all about it. It'd be tough. That's not as easy. Okay. So what happens if nobody gets 270 electoral votes? Well, then it goes to the House of Representatives. But not so fast, my friends. It's not a straight up or down vote. According to the United States Constitution, each state only gets one vote. So California gets the same vote as South Dakota. So there's 26 states have a Republican majority, so they'd meet amongst themselves. So the entire California delegation would meet amongst themselves, and they have to decide how to vote. And the whole Texas delegation would meet amongst themselves, and the whole Utah delegation. So 26 states have a Republican majority in their House delegation. So if all of them hold the line, we'd then win a House election. And they pick from the top three electoral vote getters, which means Mitt Romney could be the consensus president. Could you imagine? Moderate Democrat? Moderate Republicans come together and they say, well, no one got the 270. Let's de-radicalize the country. No labels. And then if one or two Republican flips, you could have President Mitt Romney, who wins like one state. This is the way the Constitution lays it out. I'm telling you, you're about to see some very strange asymmetrical warfare deployed. This is not going to be an election unlike any you've ever seen, because their central planning previously, starting in January, is not going well. Indictments, all this stuff. Mitt Romney not running for the Senate. My personal opinion, I could be wrong. I think that he's getting closer and closer to running as No Labels candidate presidency with Joe Manchin. They will raise buckets of money, extremely well funded, and all they have to do is peel off a couple states to prevent anybody from getting a 270. The no labels plan might not be able, it might not be to win the presidency by traditional means. It might be to force a congressional crisis. And Joe Lieberman is involved. Many other people are involved. Could it be that since the deep state centralized plan in 2023 is not going well, and then you have Kyrsten Sinema involved, and she's already not a Democrat and she's running maybe as no labels. And no labels, traditionally we'd think of, hey, no labels is going to help Trump. Well, it could in certain states, unless they're deeply red states like Utah, where you make the electoral math, you almost count on Utah being part of the calculus. There's so much unpredictable elements to this. But yes, happy Mitt Romney's not running for election. Thrilled about that. But go a level deeper. What's really going on here? It's too much simultaneous action happening right now. Far too much. Mitt Romney retiring from the Senate. Ignatius says Biden shouldn't run. Polls show Donald Trump tied and or ahead. Indictments aren't sticking. The Republican primary is basically over. This feels like a new one, a new centralized plan that they're deploying right now. Lots of unintended consequences, but the next best thing to winning for Democrats is just to prevent Republicans from winning and force a constitutional crisis in Congress and at every state vote. Strap in, folks. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Patriots need to show up. You got to get to work. This is about to get bumpy. I'm telling you, you've not heard the last of Mitt Romney. You're trying to tell me he's going to go and just be like ambassador to Ukraine? No. Smart money is on Mitt Romney running as a no-labels candidate at their drafting convention with Joe Manchin. You heard it here first.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.